Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the year that was of 2024 for the Vietnam Holding Investment Trust, and we're also going to be paying particular attention on what investors should be keeping an eye on for the trust going forward in 2025. And to do that, we're very kindly joined today by Craig Martin, who is the chairman of Dynam Capital, the manager of the Vietnam Holding Investment Trust. Craig, very much welcoming you back to the podcast today.
Well, Jonathan, it's great to be with you, and a very happy new year to you too.
And a happy new year to you. So I think that the best place to start with this, Craig, is going to be looking at what happened last year for Vietnam Holding. But before that, it'd be great if you could give an introduction to listeners that may not be aware of the trust. First of all, to yourself, as well as Vietnam Holding, please.
Sure. Well, look, Vietnam Holding is listed on the London Stock Exchange under the ticker VNH. And it's solely invested in the exciting market of Vietnam in a concentrated portfolio of Vietnamese equities. Dynam Capital, of which I'm the chairman, is the manager of the investment trust. And we're one of three UK-listed funds that are focused on Vietnam. We're the best performing and the only one to trade at a premium to net asset value. I say best performing, that's not just me saying that. We were delighted we picked up three awards last year. Best single country fund from Citywire Investment Week, as well as the UK Investor. So we're delighted with that recognition.
Thank you. And we're going to talk a little bit now, Craig, about the reasons behind you winning those awards. And as you touched on, I think it's very much down to performance. Is really the standout for Vietnam Holding. So it'd be good if you could run through the numbers for 2024. I think to add some context in terms of the macro drivers, Craig, if you could, and then, if you can play through into some of the companies that were driving those returns, that'd be great.
Sure, yeah, let me give that a go. Actually, those awards are probably for kind of long-term outperformance, but if we just focus on 2024, the fund had a very strong year. The net asset value grew more than 17% in net asset value in dollar terms. And that's after a decline of about 4.8% in the local currency, the Vietnamese dong. The fund outperformed the market. The market was up around 10%. So that's a high level of alpha. And really, it's the bottom-up stock picking that's really led to that kind of outperformance. In terms of the macro, obviously that's important. It was a strong GDP growth last year, around about 7%, which is above expectation. The country saw a record trade surplus of about $25 billion. Record levels of foreign direct investment into Vietnam by international companies. That was another $25 billion. And record levels of public investment. That was also another $25 billion or so. So a strong year from the macro side. Our portfolio, it's a concentrated portfolio, as I've said. That means it's conviction-led. It's a stock-picking portfolio. And our top holding, FPT, it's a digital champion, it delivered about an 80% growth in share price. So that was a great contributor to our performance. Also, one of our retail companies, FRT, which has the largest retail pharmacy chain in the country. It used to be part of FPT a number of years ago and was spun out. It's also a strong performer. It's up close to 70%. And in addition to that, we've got a select portfolio of banks. And in total, that's about 35% of the fund. And they're also very strong performers. And banks often provide a kind of leveraged exposure to the broader economy. So they're the real main drivers of return. Good stock selection, being in good companies, and also in the good sectors that performed well in 2024.
Thank you. So, as a Vietnam pure play, I think it'd be good if we'd be able to discuss, Craig, what's happening on the ground in Vietnam, but behind those macro numbers that you outlined there. I've been reading that Vietnam, for example, have announced a high-speed train line, which is going to be developed over the coming years. I think it would be good for listeners if you could add a little bit of context and background to some of the things that, that are happening on the ground that's really exciting you and the team at the moment?
Sure. Look, firstly, I'll say it's not always plain sailing. Obviously, last year, there was a lot of global political uncertainty, and that certainly had an impact in Vietnam. There were also several domestic changes in political positions. But the country ended the year with a very strong renewed commitment from the government to growth, quality growth. And the government has announced plans to reduce bureaucracy in the country, accelerate the rollout of infrastructure. It's keen to accelerate, the construction of a new international airport, expand the metro line system in Ho Chi Minh City. I should say they've only got one so far, and it just opened in December to wild enthusiasm. Probably a bit like the excitement we saw in London when the Elizabeth line finally opened. Do you remember the lots of delays?
Yes.
And I think surprised people how convenient it was. Well, that's the same in Vietnam. The government, as you mentioned, Jonathan, has also approved the plan to build a high-speed railway that's going to link Hanoi in the north and the capital and Ho Chi Minh City in the south of the country. This is about 2,000 kilometers long. That journey currently takes about 36 hours. I've done it. It's fantastic, but you know it's not very convenient for work. So this new line, obviously, it's a huge project. It's going to cost probably more than $70 billion and will take many, many years. But it will bring benefits during the construction as well as productivity increases once it's ready. So that's on the kind of the hard infrastructure side. But there's also a lot of interest in the development within Vietnam of technology, of AI software development for semiconductors and automotive technology. So the government wants Vietnam to be a modern industrialized country, but it also wants it to be at the forefront of kind of developments in technology. It doesn't want to be left behind.
Thank you. So you mentioned at the beginning, Craig, that there's three funds focused on Vietnam listed as investment trusts in London, and Vietnam Holding is the only one trading at a premium at the moment. So that's a massive vote of confidence from the market. I'd like to just speak about some of the factors that you feel could be driving that premium. One of them, I would suggest, is the redemption facility that you've provided to investors. So it would be good if you could go into a little bit more detail about that, as well as any plans to possibly expanding the size of the fund going forward.
Sure. Look, I'd add to that. Obviously, I think outperformance is also contributing to the interest and the demand for Vietnam Holding, which is great. But also, as you say, last year was the first year that the fund had this innovative redemption scheme. So for investors, you can buy and sell the shares on the London Stock Exchange just through your broker, through your electronic trading account, very simple. But once a year, investors can now tender, they can sell some or all of their shares in each September at net asset value. And this has really been instrumental, I think, in helping remove the discount to net asset value that's persisted for several years. Many investment trusts and funds do trade at discounts to net asset value. And in part, it could be fear from investors that they won't ever be able to get out close to net asset value and what have you. But by giving that facility, it means there's always that option and that optionality. And therefore, I think that's really helped us narrow the discount and go to a premium. And as a result of trading at the premium, the fund has been able to issue new shares. And we've been doing this since just November. And that's the first time, more than a decade that a Vietnam fund has been able to issue new shares on the London Stock Exchange. And so we've been increasing the size of the fund. And subject to investor demand, we want to see this continue. So it's a great time for Vietnam Holding, and it's fantastic to see the fund trading at a premium to its net asset value.
Thank you. So I'd like to drill down now, Craig, into some of the sectors. You touched on technology. That's been a big driver. Of course, your biggest holding there is a technology-focused company. How do you see this developing in the year to come? Is it very much going to be a year that is focused on technology again, or do you see any other areas of the economy that may be in the portfolio at the moment and you have exposure to, but you may be upping or changing your exposure to? Or is it really going to be a technology-focused approach to 2025, do you feel?
Look, I think technology has both a direct and an indirect component. So on the direct component, Clearly, FPT, our number one position, has done really, really well. And it's benefited from increased international as well as domestic demand for technology services. Interestingly, at the end of last year, Vietnam hosted some of the leading technology players. NVIDIA CEO was in town. We had some of the great and historic kind of trendsetters in AI, people like Yann LeCun, who's one of the godfathers of AI, was in Vietnam, winning awards for his contribution to deep learning and artificial intelligence. And so the Vietnamese government are very keen to embrace this. Vietnam's got a great stock of IT talent and is trying to keep going. So there's that direct element that benefits FPT and other companies. But then the indirect, we're seeing retail companies grow their online presence. They're taking advantage of new channels that are made possible by technology. Banks and stockbrokers are continuing to digitalize and attracting lots of new customers. So this expands the reach of things like financial services and increases over time the penetration of wealth creation across the country, again, using technology. And finally, I would say it's interesting to note that in Vietnam, the current smartphone penetration is high. Around 75 to 80% of the population have smartphones already. But this is going to go higher because 2G, you know, the older fashioned technology, is being switched off, just leaving the bandwidth for 3G, 4G, and 5G in Vietnam. So that will mean more technology penetration. And also, obviously, with 5G, you get things such as Internet of Things. So there's a direct technology that we play and benefit from through FPT, but then those indirect elements. And you know, we will look for where our portfolio companies are using that technology to leverage their own kind of operations. So I think technology runs deeply through the Vietnam story, as well as a kind of made in Vietnam export story and the growth of the domestic consumer as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a point I'd just like to pick up because, of course, Vietnam, very much a manufacturing powerhouse. But the consumer that you touched on there, Craig, you know, how strong have they been? I was reading some numbers that there was a good year for retail sales last year, but maybe not as strong as it was before the pandemic. You know, how's that performing? And, you know, how much is that in your thinking at the moment in terms of the power of the consumer driving Vietnam in the years to come?
Look, I think long term, it's a terrific trend. You know, there's going to be a massive growth in the number of middle income consumers. You're right. Last year was a little bit soft. It was about 8% growth in retail. Partly that's because tourism hasn't really fully kind of reverted back to pre-pandemic. We've seen signs in the other parts of Asia that trend is turning. Thailand, I think last year, saw its tourism levels back above where it was pre-pandemic, and Vietnam will probably start to get to that level again maybe this year. And that obviously has an input to the economy as well as domestic confidence increasing and improving. So, you know, I think that retail side will come back. We've got a number of great retail names in our portfolio and some that we'll add to as they're, you know, they start to shine again in the market. So we're bullish long-term around the domestic consumer in Vietnam.
Thank you. So Vietnam is classified as a frontier market still by the indexing companies such as MSCI and FTSE Russell. But there is a real push and, you know, it looks like there's a big move towards Vietnam becoming an emerging market. How's this progressing, Craig? And you know, I think the question here for listeners will be, you know, what are the real world implications for Vietnam holding when eventually Vietnam is reclassified as an emerging market?
Well, it's a great question, Jonathan. And obviously it's something that we've been looking at for several years. The positive thing is that the government and the Ministry of Finance are supportive of this. They want Vietnam to be considered a, you know, proper emerging market. And last year, the stock exchange kind of infrastructure rules were amended to allow for easier trading of stocks by foreign investors. So this is particularly related to removing pre-funding requirements, which had been a bit of an obstruction. The overall physical infrastructure of the stock exchange is also continually being looked at for ways to improve. And these, perhaps, you know, small steps, but in aggregate, hope that they will enable Vietnam to be upgraded this year to secondary emerging market status by FTSE Russell. That could either happen in March, but probably more likely September. They look at it every kind of 6 months. And the real world implication, as your question there would be, it could bring more flows from both passive funds, the kind of ETFs, global and regional ETFs, but also active funds as well. And this would be very welcome because, you know, last year, actually, despite, you know, the growth in everything in the market and the attractiveness of the market, there was an exodus from foreign investors. There's about $3.5 billion came out of the stock market from foreign investors. Now, they're only, you know, 10% of the trade in Vietnam. It's mainly a domestic market. And it wasn't just Vietnam. Many other emerging markets saw this flow as perhaps foreign investors chased the US tech stocks and NVIDIA at the expense of emerging markets. So I think when emerging markets have their day in the sun again, and when Vietnam is part of that emerging market pool, we'll see a lot more flow of foreign institutional capital to augment the strong flows of domestic capital in Vietnam.
Thank you. So, of course, that's going to be a possible major exciting event on the year in the year of 2025, Craig. But to wrap up now, apart from the possible promotion to a emerging market, what are the three most exciting things for Vietnam Holding that you see in the year ahead?
Well, look, I think first macro. So GDP growth looks to be, again, strong, 7 to 8%. And that may be enhanced through tourism rebounds that I alluded to and the positive impacts there on the retail sector. But maybe even the property sector might start to strengthen. So that will boost domestic confidence. That's the first one. Macro looks strong, attractive, and that has positives. Second, I would say stocks are cheap. Shares are trading at a price earnings around about 11 times on a forward basis. And yet there's good growth in fundamental earnings. 20% or more for the stocks in our portfolios. That's the second. And the third are our names. We're a stock picker, conviction-led. We've got some great existing, what we call portfolio champions, but we're also hungry on the lookout for some new rising stars as well to complement that. So I think we've got a busy year ahead of us, an exciting year ahead of us, and we're confident that Vietnam's going to continue to deliver for the longer term for our investors.
Fantastic. Just a quick note to listeners, do check out the notes to this podcast because there'll be a link through to Vietnam Holdings page on our Investment Trust Center where you'll be able to listen to this podcast back, see some of the recent commentary from Vietnam Holdings as well as some recent virtual presentations which are all there. So do check out the notes to this for a link through to the Investment Trust Center. So Craig, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
It's my pleasure, Jonathan, as always. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.